Navigating friendships once we get sober can be brutal. When we start changing, which is bound to happen in recovery, people start responding to us differently than they used to. Sometimes this is for the better, and friendships become deeper and more meaningful than they ever were before. But, unfortunately, and sometimes this isn't talked about enough, friendships fall by the wayside because we realize they weren't serving us at all and might have been holding us back. Listen as we talk about how sobriety has affected our friendships, for better or for worse, and how we found ways to navigate through these changes.
Welcome to Through the Glass Recovery Podcast, where we believe that connection is the opposite of addiction, vulnerability is the antidote to shame, and that recovery isn't just rewarding, but it's also a lot of fun. We're your hosts, Julie and Steve. Listen as we get together with friends to shed light on the hard things, talk about the other side of addiction, and how we create a life so full there's no space left for alcohol.
If you haven't signed up for our newsletter yet, you are missing out. Go to our website at throughtheglassrecovery.com and sign up. And we'll send you a note every Monday with some tips and tricks to help you move forward in your recovery, as well as updates to our blog and new podcast episodes. You'll also get a reminder for our free weekly Zoom meetup that we host. Sign up now at throughtheglassrecovery.com.
So hello, everybody. So nice to see you all. It's good to see a couple of familiar faces. And we also have Lisa with us, who is brand new. So it's super happy to have you. This is episode 86. And we're going to just go ahead and dive into our introductions. So I'm going to start with Jason. I think you've been here the most often, so we'll let you go first.
Yeah, Jason Williams, sober gangster. And I think this is number 3, maybe, that we've done this.
Yep. Yep.
We were just talking before. Last time I was on was my recovery birthday, and this time is my belly button birthday. So like we said, I like to spend all the special days with you guys.
It seems so.
My sobriety date is October 12th of 96, so 27 years free from addiction and just loving life. And Sober Gangster is just all about recovering out loud and, you know, promoting the recovery lifestyle and finding freedom from recovery. So you can find any Sober Gangster you want and SoberGangster.com.
Awesome. All right, cool. Yeah, happy super, super happy
birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, really awesome. Yeah.
I love that you like hanging out with us on your special days. Makes me feel important. Thank you so much.
What a better way to spend my birthday. I was excited. I was like, this is great. I get to do a podcast on my birthday.
That's really cool. Awesome. Well, and just so our listeners know, I think you guys know this, but since we might have some new listeners today, all of these people's links and information and like you can check out Sober Gangster and all of that, it'll all be in the show notes. So make sure you check those out. And next we are going to go with Monica. Welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me. So I'm Monica Pollack. I live in Southern New Jersey. I'm 4 years, 3 months sober. New Year's Eve day of 2019 is what I chose. Well, it was kind of a spur of the moment decision, a long time coming, but snap decision. Let's see. I'm a solo massage therapist with my own practice, which would have never happened if I had not gotten sober. I spin a lot of plates and occasionally massage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's good to be here. I'm happy to be back. And it's good to see everyone.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. Monica's been a longtime friend of me and Steve. So it's always nice to get to hang out in the same space as you again. It seems like it's too long in between times now. So very good to see you.
At least seems as though Monica's known me, known us both since our beginning.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I just passed 3 years in March. So pretty wild, Monica. Pretty wild.
Wild. Yeah, yeah. Got to meet you both in person last year, which was incredible.
Yep.
Yeah.
It was overwhelming. Yeah.
It was
incredible.
It is so cool what recovery makes possible, right? and just the people we get to meet. It's amazing. So
yeah.
Anyway, so happy to have you back. And then last but not least, we have our fresh blood, Lisa. Do you want to tell us about yourself?
Sure. My name is Lisa Hart Anderson. I throw my middle name just because it's the name of my coaching business. I have been sober 5.5 years. And I like to say I'm a woman in her fifth decade reinventing her life and giving back to others. And my goal is to not only help people stay on the sober path, but to be an inspiration of joy and fun that you can have in the sober world. So yes, been married 33 years, 3 grown sons, empty nester, and having a ball being sober and giving back. That's me.
That's what she does. Cool. If you go and find her on TikTok, she is dancing.
All the time. Well,
I gotta go get TikTok so I can see that.
It's very good for my mental health, and it's extremely good for my physical well-being just because of stuff that's gone on with my body. So, and it's
love it.
It's great.
It's fun. And that's what I want to do, is show that there's fun to be had.
Yep.
Absolutely. That's something Steve and I really stand for too, is how much fun it is possible to have in sobriety. Because I think so many of us are afraid we're going to quit drinking and suddenly life's going to be miserable and sad and boring. And it was such a joy to discover that that was not the case. And that's something we like to share too. So I love your mission. Thank you so much for being here. And it's a pleasure to meet you.
It was
fun. So in one of our recent Through the Glass Recovery Zoom meetings, the topic was, how have your friendships changed since you got sober? Based on that conversation, it was clearly a topic that a lot of people have trouble with and aren't quite sure how to navigate. So we thought it would be good to put some voices to that topic. So what has it been like for you? How have your friendships changed in recovery?
All right, well, I'll go.
Yeah.
There was too long of a pause. So
we just like to sit and wait awkwardly for somebody to jump in. So,
right.
And I'll for you, Lisa. Okay.
I thought it was such a good meeting for me to attend. And Steve, just want you to know that I have shouted out and recommended your guys' podcast to many people thus far, or not podcast, your meetings.
Oh, so awesome. Really cool.
Thank you. It was so good. Even clients of mine I've asked to join. So in regards to friendships, I think most of us anticipate that things are going to change and they should change, right? And for me, I will say that I made a mistake in thinking that I could put a square peg in a round hole, meaning I thought I could go back immediately into the world of what I was doing with friends, I'm doing air quotes, as a sober woman. And it just didn't work. And I spent a lot of time trying to make the friendships that I had work as a sober woman, as opposed to branching out and making friends with people who were actually sober. So basically, I think I did it kind of the wrong way. I was trying to fix and have these people that were in my life understand me as a sober person when that was not really happening. And my energy was being spent in the wrong place. It needed to be spent making new friends in the new world that I was in. So my circle definitely got smaller. I probably lost 98% of my friends. But the couple that stayed with me were along for the ride and my evolution and changes. And I'm extremely grateful. So
that's really cool.
And it was tough. And it still is. I kind of get choked up about it because there's one in particular that I really miss. But
It is. It's really hard to lose these friendships that have been around for a really long time. You talk about the small circle, like your circle gets smaller, right? And that's something that I've experienced too. And I was just kind of flipping through Instagram earlier. I came across a Mark Manson reel that he made. And Mark Manson wrote the book, The subtle art of not giving,
giving a fuck. Yep.
That's what it is.
Yep.
Took me a minute to remember the word subtle. Anyway,
I was remembering just the word fuck. So
yeah, that's the easy part. So, he wrote the fuck.
I know it's the fuck book.
Okay. Anyway, now that we've said fuck as many times as one poor person can say, so anyway, I saw this reel today and it totally related to this topic. I thought it was a really interesting point that he made, and I wanted to share it with you guys. He talks about how people in their 30s and 40s look back and they say, I just want it to be like it was in my 20s. I had so many friends in my 20s. And, you know, you get into your 30s, you get into your 40s, and it seems like you have fewer and fewer friends. And then he was talking about when you're in your 20s, everybody's kind of on a level playing field. Like, everybody's broke. Nobody has a clue what they're doing. They don't know who they are. It's easy to relate to lots of people because everybody's in this same kind of phase of their lives. Then as we move into our 30s and move into our 40s, we narrow things down. We find a profession. We find a purpose. We find our values. We start narrowing down the trajectory of our lives. And that narrows down the number of people we can actually connect with. And that made so much sense to me, because if I look back at the group of friends I had in my 20s, like, yeah, it's exactly what we were, right? We were just a bunch of girls partying at the bar. None of us had a clue. And it does, it gets narrower and narrower. And then I think on top of that, you add in sobriety and this deep level of personal growth that most of us are going through. And that shrinks that circle even more, to where there's even fewer people that you really feel like you can connect with or relate to, or, you know, the conversation actually resonates. So I just thought it was an interesting point that he made, that the way the circle shrinks. And I think when you throw sobriety on top of that, you know, after your 30s and after your 40s, and then you get sober, your circle, your possibilities are just so much fewer at that point.
Well, life is like that. You know, naturally too, as we get older, our circle does get smaller. We get more selective.
Mm-hmm.
We choose to spend our time with, and we mostly crave connection and authentic level. And you top, you know, the natural aging process in your circle getting smaller with sobriety.
it gets smaller. Yeah.
So, you know,
yeah,
the people that have stayed with you.
For sure.
I've experienced this myself and then some. Well, I was fortunate in a way. I didn't really realize how much my friendships had changed because I was sober just 2 months before the pandemic hit and then everything closed down. So there was no going out. But yeah, I did notice once things opened back up, was not invited out as much with, you know, friends who drank. I think people don't quite know what to do with me. You know, otherwise I had some friendships that were pretty much just built on that too. And I also left working with people. So I work all by myself. I no longer have coworkers. And, you know, and I've lost friendships from changing careers and jobs and that kind of thing too. So it's just, I have felt very alone, you know, in my physical world. You know, here, all my friends are people I've met online through sobriety or friends of mine who've moved away. And so, like, you know, I don't get to get together in person with friends very often. I have a couple that I do. And luckily, you're, you know, super supportive of my sobriety. Well, it's one couple, my husband and I go out with, they're relatively new. And my sobriety is not an issue, really, because they don't drink. So, you know, that's not a big deal. But, you know, the few friends that I've kept, I've been lucky. They're really supportive. But other people, you know, since things opened back up, I haven't heard from, you know, since I got sober. No one's made me feel weird or bad. I just, you know, don't get called up to hang out.
Which in itself is kind of sad and disappointing, though.
It is now. In the very beginning, though, it was kind of a relief because just, you know, when I knew I was going to be around alcohol, it just drained me. It took a lot of energy and I, you know, forethought, like, how am I going to handle this? And what am I going to have instead? And, oh, is there a mocktail, you know, list, you know, wherever we're going to eat? Or, but yeah, now I'm like, I've got this. Like, I can be around people who do drink. It's like, you know what I mean? There's really nothing I can't go to, you know, that I would make me feel awkward, but.
Right.
It is tough. It is, you know, I didn't anticipate it.
Oh no, that's like one of the things they don't tell you when you're going to quit drinking. I think a lot of people are afraid of their friendships changing. Like, what are so-and-so going to think about me? Or what are they going to say? And am I going to be able to hang out with them anymore? And I realized that, you know, when I quit, I stopped calling or asking, you know, sending those messages, hey, do you want to hang out? Let's go out for a drink or whatever that is. And then I never got the text messages back. It was never like, hey, do you want to... I didn't even tell them that I didn't quit. I was just the one putting all of the energy into the relationship so I could go out and drink.
Mm-hmm.
So then when I took that away, it's like, oh, I don't want to go out for a drink. And then so a lot of the friendships that I poured energy into just disappeared because it was just me pouring the energy. I mean, it wasn't the right energy anyways, but it was just me putting the effort in. And then so when I stopped putting effort in, there wasn't much in return. So I really had to reflect back on what those relationships looked like. And they were really surface level. We didn't talk about anything important. And we just talked about random crap. And we gossiped. I gossiped a lot. And I did all of the things that I try not to do now. Because when you don't have anything to talk about, you talk about other people and what they're doing, or sports or weather, like garbage crap.
Or if you don't want to talk about anything real, you just, your real stuff, then you talk about other people, right?
Well, I mean, when I'm talking about other people, I'm just really trying to make myself feel good about myself, because I'm not generally, I wasn't talking nice about them.
Right.
So a lot of that changed because that became not a part of my life anymore. So then the conversations that I was having were, and I got involved in the sober community. So I started having a real conversation that I didn't really know that I could have, because I had never really had one of those before if I wasn't drunk and crying somewhere. So then when those conversations got real, and now that's kind of where my friendships are at, like the standard has changed for what's required to be a good friend for myself, and in return, there's an exchange of energy. It's support in general looks way different now today than it did back then.
Steve, it was funny when you said that nobody told you that when you first signed up for this, and I was like, that's all they told me when I first signed up. Like, get rid of your playmates, get rid of your playgrounds, like. You got to cut everybody out if you want to do, you got to change everything that, like, anything you were doing before is completely wrong and you got to change it all. And this has been, like, I've read this topic earlier today because, of course, I waited till the last minute to read the topic and looked at it about, you know, this afternoon. And I've been thinking about it throughout the day and my mind's been going a million different directions with it because I have I've been gifted with long-term recovery. And it has changed so much. Like, I get to sit back and since it's my birthday, I'm getting blown up with, like, the happy birthday messages and the posts on Instagram. And I'm seeing people that I've known for 30 years through my recovery journey. Like, I have 30-year-long friendships with people, from people that were still dealing with me when I was relapsing, but still stuck around, and, like, great core friendships from my early recovery days. And I got to sit here and, like, reflect on these friendships throughout the day of, like, how amazing this gift is of recovery in the community I have. And at the same time, like, when I first got here, like, in my first 5, 6, 7 years, like, my core group of friends, it was recovery people. Like, I dropped people that weren't in recovery. I didn't even know, you know, for a long time how to be comfortable outside of the recovery world. Like, I would go to my job and then go to my recovery world. It was safe. But then somewhere along the lines, I discovered, like, I didn't get sober to live in a box, and was able to, you know, the kind of like what Monica said, like, I can go anywhere and do anything. Once this compulsion and obsession was removed, I was free to do that. And then I started to build relationships with people outside of recovery. And so now I have so many friends that are in the recovery community. And kind of like what you were saying, Steve, my conversations with them, what used to be very superficial, like when I was, the only thing we talked about was what are we going to get loaded? Like,
yeah,
that was my conversation, was how are we going to get loaded? That was it. That was what the conversation was about. Now, like, I have so many friends that are normies, or maybe they're not normies. Maybe they're addicts or alcoholics, or maybe they're abusing alcohol. But because of how I show up in that friendship, mm-hmm. like, we have deep, meaningful conversations. I have deep, meaningful conversations with people while they're having a glass of wine. Like, we're talking about heavy stuff and real things and real life problems. And I had this come up just 3 days ago. I had a friend that is not in recovery. He reached out. He was in a different country, and he said, "Hey, can you call me?" And I was like, "Yeah, give me 5 minutes." I called him, and he's like, "I am really, like, tears. I'm really struggling. I'm having all the dark thoughts. I don't know what to do." And this is a guy not in recovery. And the same way when somebody reaches out their hand for help to stop drinking, I had the opportunity to help somebody that was just reaching their hand out for help. And that's kind of how the relationships I have today. It doesn't matter if there's somebody that's in recovery, if there's somebody that's I'm associated with through business but created a friendship, if it's somebody that's a normie, like, I get to have relationships that are deep and meaningful today, versus I didn't know how to do that when I was using. The only thing I knew how to do was, let's talk about how we're going to score, who we're going to screw over, who we're going to rob, what are we going to do to get drugs or alcohol today? And, it shifted after, 5, 6, 7 years sober, to where I started to expand that circle outside of the rooms of recovery. And it's crazy. Like, I love wearing my sober gangster gear, because the conversations I have, like, I've been at massive bachelor pool parties where everybody's trashed wearing my sober gangster clothes, getting to have meaningful conversations with people around how I live my life, family members that they have that are struggling. And the alcohol doesn't become a thing anymore. And it allows me to have these meaningful conversations and relationships with people in and out of the rooms of recovery.
I think that's where the big shift happened for me. It was like, so I found my way into the recovery community, day zero, right? And I discovered these amazing conversations. And it was the first time I'd ever felt connection in my life. I had never had a friendship where I felt like I could really be honest and open and get feedback and feel things and all of that. I'd never experienced it. I didn't know what that was like. And so I just latched onto the recovery community, kind of like you're talking about, Jason. What I realized somewhere along the way is that those people, the reason I connect with them isn't because they're sober. It's because they're so open-minded. They're so focused on growth. They're headed in a similar direction. They want to know more about themselves, develop self-awareness, work on healing all of the past stuff. And they want to do things like understand their subconscious thoughts. And like, that's the kind of stuff that I'm like, give me more. Like, that's what I want to talk about. I love that about people. And I love getting to connect on that level. You don't have to be sober to do that. It seems like a lot of those people are in recovery, because I think recovery forces you onto that path. But I've met some amazing people. We've actually had some people on this podcast that aren't sober from anything, but are just on that path of growth and, somewhere headed towards the direction of enlightenment or whatever you want to call it. And that's where the real friendships are for me. It doesn't matter if they're sober or not. It just matters that they're kind of on a similar wavelength, kind of, operating on that same vibration. That's where the good stuff is, I think.
There was something else too that like really stuck out. And again, this has just been from being able to live this life for as long as I have. And Steve, this is something that they did not tell me. I lost a lot of friends that were recovery people, like people that I got sober with, people that had 10, 15, 20 years of recovery that we lost to the disease. Like, they relapsed, they died, they went away, they went to prison, like. And all of a sudden, I found myself like 5 years ago not having the deep relationship. Like I had a lot of friends, a lot of relationships, but my core, the core people that I got sober with, the core people that I relied on in my early recovery, I kind of found myself an island, like not having those core relationships. And this kind of goes to a little bit of what Monica was saying. Like I had to actively go out and try to build a new community of core meaningful people. Like for me, it was, I needed men in my life that I could rely on in my recovery to talk about when I'm hurting. And I didn't feel like I had that. I felt like I'd lost a lot of that over the years of people going away or growing in a different path. And I held on so tightly to that first core community that I had when I got sober that all of a sudden I found myself without that, those really deep connected, like if I feel like I'm in a dark spot, I have somebody to call.
Yeah.
And so I had to like put into some action. I had to put myself out there. I had to reach out and I had to build a community of men again. And it's taken a few years, but now I have that kind of core community to where if I'm, you know, if the idea to drink again comes into my mind, I have somebody I can call. Where I felt like I had lost that, even though I had so many great relationships, that's something they didn't tell me was going to happen. Could potentially happen. The longer I stay sober, chances are other people aren't going to be around all the time. And so I found myself like feeling really alone with a lot of great friends, but not having somebody I could pick up the phone and say, and I think that's really important when we're in recovery, to have somebody you can pick up call to say, I want a drink, or I want to put a bullet in my mouth. Like, because those, the dark days happen in recovery, just like bright days. And I just didn't feel like I had that. And so I had to go out and actively seek to build that. And it took a few years and it's uncomfortable being, you got like that 20, you got that long-term sobriety thing happening, air quotes. And here I'm having to be the one, like a newcomer reaching out to build a community again of like men that I can count on.
I think just the perspective there, it takes a few years, right? For most people in early recovery, a few years seems like a lifetime. And for you, 27 years sober, you're like, it took a few years. Like, but I think that that's good to hear that, though, because in early recovery, you're like, I need a circle. You know, 2 months in, you're like, where are my good friends? And it does, it takes time. That's an important statement.
Well, I just think it's interesting, too. Like, it doesn't matter if you have 27 years or if you have 5 years or 2 years. Like, recently went through the struggle of building a community in long-term recovery. My solution was the same at 27 years as it was when I was 2 years. Be a part of the herd, reach out, be a part. Like I had to do the same action that I did when I first got here.
It's connection, right? It's all about just, this is how we as humans connect, right? We give back. We do things for each other. We talk about like the important things, and you find by spreading your energy around, showing up everywhere, you find the people that match yours, right? And not like one of the hardest things for me to learn was is not everyone is for me. And so, especially early on, like I want everyone to be my friend, right? I'm already insecure. I'm already all of this, and I want everyone to be my friend. And if I piss someone off, that's bad. That's really bad. By just being myself and somebody doesn't like me, how do I fix that? And, you know, go down the list of you try and keep everyone happy and then eventually you're just not happy. And then it takes a little bit to learn that not everyone's for me. And the people that match your energy is kind of like what Julie was saying, right? Is they'll hang around. They'll pick up the phone and call you because they're interested in what you have to give and you're interested in what they have to give and you'll connect over. The people fall away and then people come back. Go ahead, Lisa.
I think this is an important element to recovery that maybe some people haven't experienced, but you said falling away, right? You people just fall away. The amount of grief that we experience losing relation, and I'm going to get choked up, losing relationships is so profound. And as our circle gets smaller, because we lose those relationships, we are forced, air quotes, forced to live and get through that grief of just losing people that are still around. So it's a very profound, unique kind of grief that we have to sit with because we have to feel because we're in recovery. So I think just the word grief alone in recovery is very layered in regards to we grieve our substance or we grieve the life or whatever it may be. But to grieve the relationships of people that are still living, whether they be friends or family members that just fell away, that is daunting. And if you don't have a circle of new people, which again, I will say I made the mistake of being very isolated and just doing alone.
Call that a mistake. I would say that was the way that you chose to travel your path. And you're finding now that getting some support probably would have been a lot more helpful back then. But we all learn our lessons at a different pace.
I know I say mistake, but at least I can, from my, maybe mistake isn't the right word, I can therefore help people when I, with clients or any or anyone that comes to me for support. This is what I was missing that would have made my recovery easier.
Right.
Because my grief, I kept trying to fix things and make things work in my grief that were not, it was never going to happen. Square peg, round hole. There is real grief when you lose people to addiction, which has happened to me as well. And then there's grief of people who are just gone or fell away, like you said. So I just wanted to, that was really important that I get that out there. Thank you.
I think the one part about, like, there's the what happens around everyone else, but I changed a lot. So I became a different friend. And so because I changed, there was certain people that weren't comfortable around me anymore. And I wasn't comfortable around them anymore because I drank, I guess, to tolerate being in their presence. The only way we could, you know, hang out, which I didn't realize that that was even a thing until, you know, we actually don't get along. And it's like, oh, okay. I changed a lot. And because I changed a lot, I didn't fit the mold or I didn't fit in those spots where I fit. You want to talk about a square peg in a round hole? I was a square peg fitting in my own square peg. And then as I was rounding those edges, I didn't fit in those spots anymore. I had to find new spots. And that's what Jason was talking about is finding a new spot, new home, new people, new friends, new... There's a lot of people out there. I was deathly afraid to like lose this small circle of people that I had without even completely blind to the fact that there is a crap ton of people in this world. And so you could lose 10 friends and there's 10 more people out there that you can connect with if you just get out there. That's the most terrifying part, is just getting out there.
We have the internet now, right? Like, so for me, the majority of my closest friends I have met online. And I, you know, I mean, I've got teenagers. Well, one's older now, but, you know, through the whole teenage years, I'm like, don't talk to strangers on the internet. They might be bad people. And here I am now. I'm like, I'm going to go fly across the country and meet a whole bunch of internet strangers and hang out with them. But that has opened up so much possibility for me. I live in a town of 300 people, like a tiny little cow town, right? I'm really limited in my real life to who I'm going to be friends with. And the internet has just made it so possible. I had to get over the fear a little bit, and Zoom, the face-to-face interactions made a huge difference. But my closest friends live all over this country and in other countries. Steve, in Canada, and it just opens up so much possibility. And I think people kind of forget to use that avenue that we have. And, you know, that's one of the blessings that did come from COVID, is that we can meet and really connect with people all over the place now in a way I don't think was possible before.
So true, because that's what's happened to me. Just recently did I start connecting with people, Steve being one of them. But prior to that, I didn't. So it is amazing, the recovery world out there in, online, and it's, you can't, it's, what did I heard or read this, there's no one that's going to support you more than the person you've never met from online, like being, and I was like, that's so true.
It's true.
It's crazy, but it's true, especially in our sober world, in our sober community. You know, we may not be face-to-face in person, but holy heck, do you get support from strangers that you've never met?
I would have never made it.
Yeah, I would have never made it. Strangers would save my life. Strangers saved my life.
Same.
Plain and simple. They're all people I didn't know at one point. They weren't all the people that I knew. It was the people that I didn't that did the trick.
And that takes so much courage to show up and talk to strangers about the really hard stuff you're doing and going through and experiencing, whether it's the addiction or just life stuff. It's your so
judgment.
Much courage.
Oh, right. Well, yeah. That's the beauty, is that we've all been through this yuck and hell, and no story surprises me or makes me go, you know, there's just a level of acceptance that is beautiful.
And I think that's where I resonate so much with that responsibility statement from 12-step programs of anyone, anywhere reaches out their hand, I'm responsible. And because that's what I wouldn't be sitting here at all. Like, I know, like, I wouldn't be sitting here if people didn't do that for me and sit up with me till 3 a.m. with my crazy, or come run to my house with my crate, like, total strangers. You're right. People that did not know me from anybody were there to help me get through that in order for me to be able to be here and do the same thing for other people.
And that's how friendships happen, right? Like, you show up and those people show up for you at 3 a.m. with all your crazy. And that's where a real friendship starts growing. You have to let them in, though. You have to let them show up for you like that. This is exactly the same.
Yeah. It's terrifying and exhilarating all at the same time. But yeah, all of my recovery was, I meant to say that all my recovery and connection was all done online, you know, in an app and in Zooms. It was all online. It just, you know, I think I attended one meeting in person in the very beginning before the pandemic shut things down. That was it. And then it was all online.
That's all there was for me and Julie. That's all there was, yeah. It was online because everything was shut down when I quit. So what do I do about it? Well, I don't know. Let's go to a meeting. How do I go to a meeting? Oh, I'm on Zoom. So download Zoom and do the thing. And here I am on Zoom recording a podcast. Right?
Like years later.
Years later. It's just, it's just incredible what, I'm going to wrap things up here, I think. It's just incredible what, how much more comfortable I am in my own skin just by showing up to and meeting other people that are sober and in recovery. And as terrifying as it is, I first want to say here that there are so many options outside of just AA to find community, to get that connection. It was all I knew. So that's the avenue that I started, and then I found other communities and I was like, whoa. And it's getting more and more out there, but there's so many communities out there. If you are listening right now and you're looking for community and you're looking to try and find some sort of friendship and connection like what we talked about tonight, send us an email. You can look at the profiles of Lisa and Monica and Jason. Contact any one of us if you connected to with anything that we said, and we'll help you find that sort of community based on the things that we went through. And I think that's super important, because one of the things that happens in this journey, and I think we all experience it one way or another, is a fair amount of loneliness. And that's probably one of the hardest things to get through, is the loneliness. But with the friendships and the connections, yeah, we get more selective. The conversations are way different. Jason, you mentioned, like, from superficial to meaningful conversations. I started feeling accepted for me for the very first time because I got to be real. And it was terrifying And Monica, you said like terrifying and exhilarating all at the same time. Grieving lost relationships, they happen. You hold on to some of these things so tight because it's all I knew I had and I didn't know any different. And letting go of that to close one door and see what's on the other side of that next door was an experience, but it was well worth it every time. And sometimes those friendships will come back. I've lost friendships in the beginning, and now every once in a while out of the blue I'll get a message saying, hey, how's it going, from someone that, and I'm just over 3 years sober, and some of these relationships, they're not really ever lost, they just need time. And a stranger could be your next best friend. It really can't be. So I want to say thank you, Monica. Thank you, Jason. And thank you, Lisa, for joining us tonight and sharing your thoughts and experiences.
Thank you. It's fine.
Thank you.
Happy birthday, Jason.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
Made it to 47.
Made it to 47.
Youngin.
So many more amazing years left.
Yes, Monica, youngin. Look lighter. All right.
Thanks so much for listening today. If you found this week's episode value, we would be honored if you'd consider sharing it with a friend or sharing it to social media, wherever you're comfortable. Sharing our podcast is a great way to support what we're doing and help others find some added insight and support.